Well, have we got a show for you today? I have an incredible guest, a pro poker player who has turned NFT pro in a very short while, managed to build a huge following of 330,000 followers on Twitter by creating some of the best content that I have seen in NFT Twitter world. None other than the man, the myth, the legend himself, Zeneca, is on today's show. I'm so excited about what we're going to cover. We're going to cover everything from what's happening in the market today, where are the Grail projects, and what is happening in the world of Zeneca, Zen Academy, and maybe some additional new drops that you're going to learn about here first, all in today's episode of Goats and the Metaverse. Let's bring on Stanley. How are you, my man?
I'm excited. I want to learn all about Zeneca. I want to know if he has actually made more money playing poker or in the NFT world. That's the question I have for him. But definitely excited to learn more about what is going on and the pulse of the market. And without further ado, let's bring him on. Let's bring on the man himself. Zeneca, welcome to Goats in the Metaverse. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Well, we're happy to have you here. Yeah, let's go into a bit of your backstory on how you got into the world of NFTs. And obviously, before that, we know you were a pro poker player, and you've written quite a bit about how that discipline and that excitement, like that capability, how that translates into the world of NFTs. But let's hear from you how you got into this world.
Yeah, so I got into crypto in 2017. I think like a decent amount of people back then. Ethereum was making a lot of noise and prices were going up, that big bull run. But then the bear market hit in 2018 and I was like, all right, that was a fun experiment, back to real life. And then it wasn't until 2021 that I started paying attention again. But yeah, like you mentioned, my background was professional poker. So I did that. Basically, that's the only thing I ever did. I went from high school straight to that to this whole world, and there's a lot of overlap from poker players and crypto. I think back in 2011, the US government basically passed some legislation that made it very difficult / impossible to play online poker in the United States, and so as around the same time the Bitcoin was, you know, appearing. And people were like, well, maybe we can play online poker using Bitcoin and like circumvent the government. And so people were like, a lot of poker players were very early. Unfortunately, I was not. it was a niche area. I was not in America. I didn't really look into it that much. But all that to say is that the first time I got into crypto was because I had poker playing friends that were telling me, hey, you should look at this and get in. The exact same thing happened in early 2021, where some of the same friends that had been in the space the whole time were like starting to talk about NFTs and, just mentioning this whole new world. And I remember in 2017, I was like, oh, I wish I was in the space like a few years earlier. I feel like I missed the boat. And then I just felt like similar energy. And I was like, oh, this is kind of happening again. I don't want to miss it this time. And I was already ready to sort of like step out from poker. So I just kind of went, after I got over the whole NFTs are a scam, Ponzi cult thing, which I think everyone goes through for a week or two, when it finally clicked, I was like, all right, down the rabbit hole. And that's how it all began.
So are your poker friends now coming to you and being like, if it wasn't for me, you wouldn't be the great Zeneca?
not so directly, but they know. Like, so I was in Vegas. We were in Vegas, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
And I had met some of these friends, these old friends that I hadn't seen since pre-COVID, basically. And it was just really great to catch up. And then the bill came and I'm like, this is 100% on me, guys. just like I owe them so much. And, you know, who knows how life works? Maybe I would have found NFTs differently and got it another way. But I really, it was because of them, basically. And it wasn't just that they told me about NFTs and like that was it. It's like we had a group chat, like a WhatsApp conversation and we're still in it, where it's just like, if I had questions, I would drop questions, I would answer questions. And that's, I think, one of the best ways to learn is to have friends that sort of can help you learn and answer your questions. And so like, this group was that for me. And yeah, this is just a ton of gratitude.
So the show is about, you know, being that group friend who you can ask a lot of questions mm-hmm. about, and hopefully getting people to know about this world. You know, you learn about NFTs and then you entered into the world, and a lot of people discover NFTs on our side, but they aren't able to build the kind of following that you have managed to build. Talk us through that process of discovering NFTs and why you decided to produce content. And how that has helped in this type of journey.
Yeah, it was never like super intentional to build a large audience or following or anything like that. It just kind of started to happen, and then it happened. So I created my Twitter account in March 2021, and I was like, you know, like most people, I would retweet giveaways and try and enter things and tag three friends and all that kind of stuff. And occasionally I would write some, like a thread here and there. I was like, oh, I think this is interesting, let me share it. And, you know, four people would see it. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. Four people saw what I read. That's amazing. And then I started my newsletter in, I think it was June last year. And I've always liked writing and like enjoyed writing. And but one of the biggest reasons was I feel like I learn better when I have to explain something to someone else. And there was so much happening in the space even then. Like it's insane how much is happening now. But like new projects were launching, and I was like, I got to research this project. If I'm going to be researching it, maybe I'll write about it and share like what I think about it and just see what happens. Because I'd always wanted to have like a blog. I actually had a poker blog way back in the day. I tried like a food blog, a travel blog, but just like there's 8 bazillion of those. Whereas in the NFT space, there was very little in the way of content. So it just sort of became a thing that people started sharing around. And I was like, oh, this is really nice. This feels good. People are sharing something that I wrote and appreciating it. Like as a poker player, you don't often get this warm, fuzzy feeling inside where you help people, but it felt like I was adding and contributing to the space or to society. So I decided just to lean more into that. And then I started creating these daily floor price updates on Twitter. And I think that was like a turning point where it was just literally just spreadsheets, Google Sheets of the floor prices of a bunch of NFT projects. But this was before there were any of these analytics tools, before OpenSea had floor price. So it was just helpful for people. And I started posting them and people started sharing them. And then I would write a thread with my thoughts on the market. And it was like that plus my newsletter just started blowing up. And from there, I was like, hey, this is amazing. I love this. So much more than like flipping JPEGs or anything else that I'm doing. Let me just try and figure out how to lean, like go all in on this side of the space.
And is that how Zen Academy was born? What's kind of the story behind that and what motivated you to start that? And tell us a little bit about what Zen Academy actually is.
Yeah, that was basically how it was conceived and born. It was, I thought, well, if I want to go full time, all in, creating content and doing stuff like that, there's the Web2 model of like, you got to think of how to monetize, you know, you got to pay for food and rent and family stuff and all that kind of stuff. So, and you know, trading JPEGs was going well at the time, but if that was all I relied on, well, I'd be pretty stressed out today after, you know, this long bear market. So in the Web2 model as a content creator is like, you have a Patreon with subscription models, you have paid ads on wherever you get sponsors, you have affiliate links, you sell courses, you do all these. There's a lot of things you can do to monetize. And those are great. Like I have nothing against those. And I think that I do some of those things and probably do more of those. But I thought that, especially last year in the thick of it, it seemed to me, well, I'm in the Web3 space. Maybe I should do something more Web3 native and sell NFTs instead of having a Patreon, or instead of making my newsletter a paid newsletter, just make it free, but maybe sell NFTs to sort of try and generate revenue for me and value for others in a different way. And so I thought about, well, okay, if I'm going to sell an NFT, what kind of NFT project is it going to be? And then I was like, well, I'm not an artist. I'm not a game designer. I'm not a developer. I can't really innovate too much in that area. I'm basically a content creator. And then I was like, well, what does the space need? Education is something that the space needed then. It still needs now, but like there's a lot better and more resources now, which is awesome. And so, yeah, that was where the idea came from. I said, well, maybe I can create a community that is like focused on onboarding and educating people about NFTs and keep writing what I'm writing and then just kind of see where it goes. Cause I didn't have a roadmap. We don't have a roadmap. It's just, you know, we'll, the space changes, we'll change with it and try and have creating content and helping people sort of at the core of it. So that's where the idea came from. Yeah.
What does the training look like? So if someone joins Zen Academy, what can they expect?
Yeah, so it's been fairly haphazard and all over the place. We've had like various things that people can do to sort of learn. It depends where people are. Like that's the difficulty with education in NFTs and Web3. Like sometimes I get asked the question, people ask me like, what are like the three most common questions a newcomer will ask you? And the reality is like people have like 50 questions and everyone has 50 different questions because some people that come, they're an artist, they're trying to enter the space and their questions are very different from someone who's trying to trade and flip and make money. And that's very different from executive at a massive brand that are trying to like employ their strategy. So everyone's coming from a different space. Maybe someone's 13 years old, maybe someone's 70 years old. It's just everyone has different starting points. So we've got a bunch of different avenues now. It's been a long journey where we didn't have all these to begin with. But for the pure beginner, we've created this thing called 30 Days of NFTs. And it's literally just 30daysofnfts.com. And it's an email course designed for the pure beginner. So that is... it's the one I say you can send to your mom, and I've sent it to my mom, and she's because she hasn't struggled to understand. I've struggled to explain to her like NFTs and what it is, and like I've tried a few times, she still doesn't get it. But this is basically every day for 30 days after you sign up, you'll get emailed a short, you know, like a 3-minute read, maybe a 4-minute read on one piece of this space. And the intent is for it not to be overwhelming because it can be very easily overwhelming. You know, often people new to the space, they're like, the advice is, yeah, just follow these people on Twitter and you know, hop into a Discord and ask some questions. But then people are like, what the hell is Discord? And I don't like, understand Twitter. So everyone has an email address. Everyone understands email. So, you know, day one, we talk about what is an NFT. Day two, we talk about what is a blockchain. You know, eventually we get up to what is a wallet? How do you create a wallet? And then, you know, what is Discord and why do people use Discord and Twitter? And by the end of 30 days, we've hopefully given people a pretty comprehensive basic understanding of NFTs and to an extent crypto and blockchain in general. So that's for the beginner. And that's really exciting. We launched that we actually launched it in Vegas as like a soft launch, but we did it publicly. We had like 30, 50 people sign up and then we did it on Twitter and everywhere else. And now we have a couple thousand people, which is really exciting and slightly terrifying because we've got to make sure it's all working. And then we have things that are just sort of, if you're a little more advanced, I've done some structured courses in partnership with NAS Academy or NAS.io now, which is like kind of like a masterclass style website. So if you want to launch an NFT project, I did this, you know, there's 10, 15 hours of video content courses with, you know, exercises and instructors that will, you know, help you along. And that is a more structured course. I think it's paid, but if you have one of our tokens, it's free. I say, I think it's paid because they've done a huge restructure on their end lately. It's a bit of a mess, but basically if you have one of our tokens, now we have instructions. You go to this website, you sign up, you get access. There's this course on how to launch an NFT project. There's another one on how to grow a community. And there's a third one on like the mental health side of things and like navigating the financial swings. Cause I think that's really difficult for a lot of people. And then we just have like within the Discord, it's sort of like chat channels, and then we have weekly founders calls, we have a weekly orientation for newcomers, so a lot of different initiatives basically. But yeah,
I love it. So we'll post those show notes for the NAS courses so people can subscribe to that. And really what you're doing is you're helping people onboard into Web3, and no one really knows where to start. That question is always like, well, like I'm interested in this thing, where do I get access? And so many blog posts, there's so many people on Twitter, like you can't say, well, go onto crypto Twitter, because that's just like, what does that actually look like? So having 30 days of NFTs every day, someone can, you know, discover that and use that as an on-ramp, join Zen Academy. Love that is the way that you're trying to bring people into the space through education, not through shilling about a particular project. It's really just like, come and learn, and then you can discover yourself. I love that.
Yeah. And I guess my question is, you know, obviously going through the bear market, right? There's less motivation to learn about NFTs, or there's, I guess, less upside of potentially making money, right? I guess during the bull, everybody wanted to be a part of it and they didn't care. They were kind of throwing blind money in, or they were saying, I'm going to go down a rabbit hole and sit there for 12, 14 hours a day and consume as much information as possible. And now the dividends are completely different. How has that changed your course? How has that changed in general, just the attitude of kind of like building during a bear, right? Or even communicating with, you know, newbies entering the market and also people that have been in the market for a while. How has that changed on your end?
Yeah, it's changed the course in the sense that there's just fewer people taking a course on how to launch an NFT project, because I think there's just far less money to be made, and that's kind of fine and good and healthy. It hasn't changed too much on our end, because we've always sort of we've never focused on like the making money side of things, the alpha, the flipping, the minting, and like we have an alpha channel in the Discord because there's just a bunch of people in the community that will, you know, inherently crypto NFTs, it's tied to money and people want to make money, but it's not our focus. We don't prioritize that first and foremost. So we're still just chugging along doing what we do and just create content. And I think that even though we're in a bear market, there's far fewer people entering the space. Like we don't have thousands, tens of thousands every week just joining us like we did for a while last year. But well, actually, now that Reddit is entering, maybe we do. But prior to that, we had, you know, maybe a few people every now and then would join Zen Academy, or, you know, there are still a lot of people showing genuine interest. And now it's more than just, hey, I want to get rich quick. Now it's like, oh, hey, I work for Disney, Google, Facebook, Meta, you know, whatever massive, you know, Mercedes, Gucci, Louis Vuitton, all these brands and companies are now like, oh, we need to figure out our Web3 and NFT strategy. Celebrities and athletes and everyone are thinking out a Web3 strategy. Businesses that are like not even, you know, Fortune 500 brands, you know, people who have like a coffee shop, I'm seeing now, they're like, can we do something? Like Starbucks is doing a loyalty rewards program with NFTs. I've got a coffee shop. Should we be looking into this? So there's a lot more genuine interest now from people who are trying to understand like the technology and like the real world use cases. And I think that it's like, it's kind of quality over quantity now, whereas in the bull market it's like quantity over quality. It's like everyone and their mother are joining trying to get rich quick, and that leads to people getting burned and bad things happening, and you know, good things can happen as well, but it's a lot more calm now, and I love it, I think. And I think a lot of the people that are still here, if you're still here and like 6 months into a bear market, you've probably got some conviction, and you're probably here for more than just to get rich quick, which is awesome.
You're certainly going to earn your stripes by hanging around while the bear market continues. You mentioned Reddit and them entering the NFT world, and we covered it on our show yesterday that, you know, 3 million NFTs are now in the hands of the Redditors. We've also seen that like PFPs have taken a huge kind of dive in the value over time, and there's people saying that the only PFP that's going to be worth any value is CryptoPunks in the future, and maybe Bored Apes. What's your view of PFPs in this category, and whether there's something exciting and interesting there, or is it just a flash in a pan and once in a lifetime, and this thing is just going to, people are going to forget about PFPs?
I think both. So I think that PFPs are around to stay forever. I think digital identities, like just general identity, is a huge part of life. People buy clothes because they want to identify a certain way. People buy brands because they want to identify a certain way. And when it comes to video games, people buy skins because they want to identify a certain way. When it comes to PFPs, it's just an additional way to identify and like associate yourself with a company, a brand, a community, this, that, or the other. And I don't see that ever going away. I think people will have PFPs, avatars forever. What I don't see happening again is the mania that we saw last year, where it was just like so many projects launching and you could mint almost anyone and there were 10x in price. So it's utterly unsustainable. You know, everyone knew it was unsustainable. Everyone knew it was going to, like 99% of projects would go to zero. Like everyone always said that. It was just a matter of when, not if, and no one knew. Like I remember back in June last year, I got a DM from the Cool Cats account because I guess I had like 10,000 followers and they were trying to, you know, market and stuff. And they just wanted to share their project with me. And I replied and I was like, it looks cool, but I think the market is saturated. Do we really need another cat project? And this was in June last year before the bull run, before, like, that's when we had like 2 10K projects, if that, launching a week. Now we have 200 launching a day or something just stupid. And so very unsustainable. But I think that there will be plenty more than just punks and apes that survive. I think as sort of digital avatars, collectibles, art pieces, membership tokens, like PFPs are in this hybrid category where they're very much not investments in the company, but then they're a little more than just a collectible, because you usually get like some utility. You get like a membership access, like Bored Ape, your club, it's in the club word. You know, it's yet to be seen what and how much that membership utility is actually worth. And I think we'll just have to wait a few years out from now. But I think a lot of the more established brands and PFP projects now are probably going to do well. And, you know, most of them have like tens of millions of dollars in VC backing now, which is going to help ensure their success. But yeah, I think with Reddit entering, we're sort of entering this new phase now where instead of just, you know, having people pay $1,000, $500, $100 to mint an NFT, maybe you give them out for free if you're a large enough brand, and then build like goodwill and community that way. And yeah, it's an interesting transition phase, but I don't think PFPs going anywhere.
Do you think we're kind of almost spoiled in a bit, in a way where, you know, like the expectation is so high, right? You gotta, if you're launching a PFP project or you're launching an NFT project, in order for it to be successful, there's just, you have, you know, in the first
so much pressure
90 days, you have to promise the world, right? You have to over deliver. We need a token, we need a video game, we need, you know, whatever else we need.
It needs to be free. There's gonna be no royalties.
Yeah, like we're kind of at the point of you know, the expectation so high. And you know, like looking, and I'm using Moonbirds as an example, like looking at Moonbirds, right? People are like, Moonbirds is going to be the next Bored Ape Yacht Club. And then they kind of made a bunch of adjustments with C20. And like, are they falling to the pressure? And I'm just using them as an example. But is the pressure too much, and the market is moving so fast and people are trying to continuously adjust that it's almost like they're tripping in their own way?
Maybe a little bit. But I think most projects suffer with that. It's sort of, I wrote a piece on this a few months back called Impossible Expectations. And the idea being that it's literally impossible to meet the expectations of your community if you're a founder or you run a PFP project or any project, because of the nature of NFTs and how they're so speculative and people buy and sell and trade them on the secondary market. If you have like a 10K project and let's say you have 5,000 unique holders, you're going to have a percentage that bought at mint. You're going to have a percentage that maybe bought at 10 times mint price. You're going to have a percentage that maybe bought below mint. You're just going to have people that have paid different prices for effectively the same thing. So that's going to, expectations are different for someone who paid $100,000 for Moonbird than someone who paid $5,000 for Moonbird. And then aside from the price, people inherently have different goals and strategies and desires. So some people might just love the art and they're like, just, they're very wealthy individuals. They're like, I like to collect assets, digital assets, real world, whatever. I want to just have a few Moonbirds in my collection. Other people are trying to speculate and like making money off of it. And they're like, well, I'm going to try and quickly flip these. I think that, you know, within 2 months, you know, the price is going to go up and I'm going to buy now. And I'm hoping to exit in a couple of months. Some people do that, but they're like, their time horizon is 3 to 5 years or 10 years. Everyone has different expectations and everyone wants different things. So it's just impossible to handle that. I think that a lot of projects often shoot themselves in the feet by sort of catering to the whims of the community a little too much. Like it's great. And you should always listen to your community and, you know, get feedback and take that into account. But I think sometimes the community doesn't know what it wants, or what they think that they want is not actually going to be good for the overall company and project in the long run. So yeah, just having like a clear vision and direction that you're moving in and sticking to that while allowing for a little bit of flexibility is generally helpful.
I know you've spoken a lot about generative art of late, and a little bit about FX Hash, and educating people about the world of generative art. Do you see that different to the world of PFPs? Like, how would you think about people who are looking at generative art or looking at the industry and saying, I've got a couple of $1,000, maybe a couple of $100. I want to buy my first NFT. How would you direct that kind of conversation?
Yeah, I always start with asking them what their interests are, what they like, and why they want to buy an NFT. And that can lead you down all sorts of different routes. I'm generally more bullish on the longevity of, say, art blocks, generative art, maintaining value and relevance in 5-10 years from now than, you know, pick your random PFP project, just because it is such a... It's kind of a niche, but it's like the biggest company and platform in that area, and it is on chain. There's just a lot going for it that I feel more comfortable recommending, say, Art Blocks than I don't know, whatever PFP project launched this week that's going well, like Renga. I'm a big fan of Renga. I own a bunch of Renga. I think they're great, but who knows if they're going to be around in 5-10 years? Whereas with Art Blocks, I think I'm fairly confident. Like, it's on chain. It's as long as Ethereum is around, the art will be there. But maybe some people, they have a higher risk tolerance. Maybe they want to be part of a different type of community. Maybe they want their PFP, and that's where I would recommend them to maybe, yeah, just go spend a few hundred dollars on a PFP where that leads you. So really it depends on the person. It depends is the actual answer.
Yeah. But I mean, like, I think I agree with you, but at the same time, like, that holder that bought that an PFP for $300, he's still waiting for that token or something else, right? Even if he identifies with that PFP and that art and that...
Most people are, yeah.
He's still in that Discord saying, you know, when is token? When is airdrop? When is something else, right? So I think that's kind of going back to what I was saying earlier. We're spoiled, right? Like, our expectations are so, so high that you almost can't enjoy that art or that PFP anymore.
I know you're working on an exciting project. So, speaking of high expectations, can you tell us a bit about what is coming?
Yeah, so we are working on a PFP project, and I mean the best question, or the biggest question people ask is why, and it's a really good question because the space does not need another PFP project. There's plenty of great projects out there, and when I launched Zen Academy last year in November, it was almost a year ago. I intentionally didn't do a PFP because I was like, well, we don't need another PFP project, and so let me not do that. But what we've come to realize over the course of the last year is that there is a lot of like demand and desire from within the community that were like, hey, I would love a Zen Academy PFP. I would love to represent the community and to be able to more easily identify other community members on social media and just to be like, just to own a Zen Academy PFP. Some people like art, some people like collecting things. And it's with that in mind that we're like, okay, I think we can do one in a way that is value additive to our community, that doesn't, like, we're not trying to inflate the supply. We're not trying to do another 10K, 20K drop to just, you know, with a Dutch auction to try and extract as much value as possible. We're trying to do it in a meaningful way that sort of brings our community along for the ride, hopefully rewards them a little bit, and gives them something fun to open or to mint or to, you know, whatever the exact mechanics end up being, to be to have a Zen Academy PFP. And that's it's very exciting, but, you know, it is a little daunting because of the impossible expectations. You know, I can and we can be as clear as possible about, hey, we're not trying to build a game. We're not going to launch a token. We're not going to do this, that, or the other. You know, we have some ideas and plans, and, you know, we're a business and we have ways to generate revenue and support ourselves, and we intend to be around for years and decades. But, you know, if you're trying to mint and buy now for a 6-month liquidity event and to so you can exit and dump, it's probably not the right project for you. So it's like, we can be clear about that, but there'll always be some speculators still. So it's about trying to balance and manage those, but yeah, that's our job for the next few months.
And when can people expect that?
So they can expect an
announcement.
On the announcement is on the 1st of November, so basically in a week. it will be, I'm going to run through like the plans for the next few months. This Zen Academy, Zen Labs, the parent company as a business, just to give people insight into like what we're thinking, where we're coming from. And the actual PFP, Q1 2023 is what we're aiming for. So it's still a few months out, the actual PFP, but there's some fun and exciting things happening much sooner. I think November is probably when we're aiming for. So yeah, the journey begins soon, but the PFP itself won't be until early next year.
So you quietly just drop some alpha, quietly. Just don't talk.
Yeah, I've been quietly dropping this in a few places, but like I think every time I speak about it, I like say one or two extra things. Like I don't think I've mentioned Q1 2023 before. I don't think I've said that there'll be some. I think people know that. Well, obviously people know the town hall's happening. So, but yeah, a little bit of alpha there.
And tell us about Chief Zen Officer of Blur. how did that come about? And I love the title.
Yeah, I mean, I'm obviously a fan of the title too. That's a fun story. So I was approached in, I think it was December last year, so December 2021, asking if I wanted to like be a seed investor in Blur. And it actually wasn't even called Blur at that point. But and I was like, well, what is this? And they're like, we're trying to be an advanced marketplace for pro traders for NFTs. And I was like, that sounds interesting. Tell me more. And went down that whole path and ended up investing because I thought it sounded good. And that was kind of that for a few months. Didn't really hear too much. And then in, I think it was March, maybe early April, someone from Paradigm who was leading the round for Blur and helping them raise their rounds reached out to me and said, I mean, at Blur, they're looking for someone to be like, you know, a bit of a public figure ambassador. Think of like Head of Vibes, like a bunch of projects have that. D's is like that for Fractional. Similar like that kind of role. Is that something you'd be interested in? And I was like, not really. I'm sorry. Like, I don't really like to align myself with a specific project. I don't like to sort of market, promote, et cetera, do any of that. And I'm just sort of like, I got all my own stuff going on. And it's, yeah, I appreciate the offer, but I'm not really interested. And then I think like a day or two later, she came back to me and she was like, I think you should just take a call. Like really just, this is a really good opportunity. Like yeah, they're building something special. Have a call with the founder and see where that leads. And I said, okay, I'll do that. And we had a call and Pac-Man, the founder, sort of told me about what they're building, you know, where they were going, what they were trying to do, what they envisioned my role to be. And it was not sort of going out there pumping and shilling and just telling everyone blasting about the project. It was just sort of, helping, it was like sort of a hybrid between ambassador and advisor, helping with some strategy on understanding like the market. You know, they came from a DeFi background, they'd gotten to NFTs like late 2021, so they missed a lot of the history, and they knew a bit of the culture, but you know, it's really important to have a better understanding of the culture when it comes to like messaging and posting announcements and tweet threads. And they just needed some help and guidance there, as well as, you know, obviously being a bit more of a public figure for the company. I was like, yeah, okay, that sounds interesting. And I really like Pac-Man, and I saw what they were building, and it was like, it was very special. And I think it is very special. I was like, okay, this is something I could get behind. Let's figure out more. And then Pac-Man was like, yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, we get along well. I mean, it was just as much sort of a call for him to sort of get to know me as well. And then, but he said, you know, I don't like to bring anyone onto the team until I meet them in person. And then he said, so, you know, where are you going to be over the next few weeks? I'll come meet you. And I was like, well, we're flying. So he's from San Francisco and in America. Maybe he was in New York at the time. I was like, well, we're traveling around Spain. It's a holiday. Me, my partner, her mom is over from Australia. And he's like, just pick a day, a time, I'll come. And so he flew to, where was it? I think Malaga or somewhere in the south of Spain. And we just had dinner one night and it was like, oh, okay, this is crazy. But yeah, it really just showed that he cared about who was on the team and getting to meet people. And then basically joined up and been helping them sort of behind the scenes a little bit. And now it's all fully public. And yeah, that's how it all began. And yeah.
Yep, that is a cool story. And I know there was a little bit of controversy about some of the other people that were kind of revealed as being on the cap table, and you had to manage that that conversation is something you didn't know, with Beanie Maxi being one of the names we haven't heard in a long time coming out and saying, you know, being an investor in Blur. How is the platform doing? Why should people be interested in it? Tell us more about it.
Yeah, I mean, the whole Beanie thing, just that was just massive curveball because I had no idea. And then he just popped up the day that it launched. So it was very opportunistic. And we were like, oh God, he's going to make this. He's going to drag this out and make it all about him. And but then he just disappeared, at least for now. So it's like, I'm very thrilled with that. I'm there's no love lost between myself and Beanie. And
he might come back. Yeah. I have a feeling he might.
I know. Yeah.
Not the last week.
He's like that super villain in movies that has a multi movie arc. We have not seen the last of Beanie. Anyway, what is Blur? Blur is like it's a marketplace plus an aggregator. So up until now, we've had marketplaces like OpenSea, LooksRare, X2Y2. And we've had aggregators like Gem and Genie, and Blur is basically both in one. So you can list directly on Blur, or you can list across every marketplace, and you can buy on Blur, but you can also buy across every marketplace. So it's trying to be like this one-stop shop, and specifically for like the more advanced traders. Like, it's not designed for beginners. So like OpenSea is great for beginners. It's got nice large images. It's got guides and tutorials and learning center and all sorts of really easy to understand user experience. Hang on, my headphones are dying. Hello?
Yeah, it's got you.
Okay, I think we're back.
Yep.
Sorry about that. So it is, I mean, the best analogy is to think of it like Coinbase for coins is for beginners. Everyone's, you know, most people, at least in America, I'm not sure about the rest of the world, like Coinbase, I'll go and deposit. But like the advanced traders, they don't trade on Coinbase. They trade on FTX or maybe Binance. And, you know, these are the platforms that have like more advanced. You have options trading, you have leverage, you have all these tools and features and charting that Coinbase doesn't quite have. And so Blur is trying to be that, but for NFTs. And, you know, they optimized for speeds. They wanted to make sure that they were just the fastest marketplace. So, you know, when it comes to metadata, reveals, or when it came to like new listings, they wanted to be the first. So they built from the ground up all of this stuff instead of relying on a lot of projects rely on other platforms or other infrastructure. They just built it all from the ground up. So very exciting for it. The public perception seems to be good. They launched publicly last week. I had been in private beta for a while. There's an airdrop. Everyone loves a good airdrop. So that's it's sort of in progress now. Or like you can claim your care packages. There's a whole thing there, and there's another airdrop coming soon. But the actual token doesn't launch till January. So you sort of can see, you can get an idea of what your airdrop's going to be, but it won't be till January till you actually get tokens in your wallet that you can do stuff with. So, yeah.
I've swept some floors using Blur, and it's definitely a much faster yeah. experience and easier to see what's happening and where everything is. So I have enjoyed the platform, and I think we're going to see more of those chief vibes officers playbook playing out now. I don't know if they'll have the same story of a flight to Spain before signing people up, but certainly going to see that happening more and more.
I think so. Yeah.
So I have a question that I'm sure everybody wants to know. When's the market coming back? Ethereum's is actually
today now. Like it's up. What? 10,
no, 20%? I mean, listen. Right now, I was actually telling Yossi before we started. I was like, we're like booming right now, right? 12%. Yeah. I feel like we haven't seen a 12% number in months. At least that's
what we literally just trended sideways for so long. I mean, it was what? It was 1700-ish just before the merge, and then it kind of dropped to like 1200-1300. And we just sat there till now, and finally we're going back up. I have no idea, but I like it.
Why to us?
Yeah. All right, the bull market begins now.
There we go. It has been declared on this show. Exactly.
There you go.
It is now happening. I love it. All right, well, Zeneca, anything else that you think our audience should know about the world of Zeneca, what's to come, and how do they find out more information about everything?
Yeah, I think I'm going to do the town hall next week. We're doing in Discord and actually via Google Meet, because I'm going to share my screen and do that. I'm going to do a public one as well, like a Twitter space. So keep an eye out for that. It'll be just follow me on Twitter at Zeneca_33, and I'll post about that a bunch. And then, yeah, I mean, I guess the thing that I try and direct most people to now is like 30daysofnfts.com, because it's like, it's working so well. We're getting so much good feedback. It's free. And it's one of those things that you can I really think you can send to your parents, you can send to your friends, you can send to people that are like curious about NFTs, and they're just like, see if they like, if they're curious about it. Obviously don't just spam it to people that hate NFTs, but like there's a lot of people out there that are like a little bit curious, and they're like they don't know where to start, or that they know that, like for the case of my parents, like they know that I'm into it and they would like to understand more, but it's like it's difficult without you know, I mean, they live on the other side of the world. So without like sitting down with them and spending a few hours talking them through, now they're taking this course. And I think, yeah, hopefully more people take it and learn from it and understand this space safely, because we go through security a lot as well.
So you just solved my Christmas shopping problem. I'm going to send mom, dad, and all my friends the website and say,
yeah, tell them you paid for it, but it's free.
Yeah, absolutely. I got you the most expensive gift this holidays.
When you mentioned your Twitter handle, Zeneca_33, and I know you've also got the 333 club. Mm. What is with the threes? Is there something behind that?
Yeah, people ask me that all the time. Actually, in Vegas, because I was wearing my 333 hoodie, and I got stopped, like honestly, between 5 and 10 times, people saying, are you into numerology? Or that's a really important number in Christianity or in numerology and all the other things. And I was like, it's purely a coincidence. So when I created my Twitter account last year, Zeneca was taken. I was 33 years old, 33. And then when it Dad. Came to the 333 club, it was just... I was trying to find a community size, and like 100 was too small, 500 was too big. So it's like, could do 250, could do 300, might as well just stick with the threes, and the rest is history.
There we are.
Zeneca, we appreciate your time. We hope you guys enjoyed the show. I know I learned a lot. I learned that we're finally back. The market is back.
We're back.
It's done.
And we're excited to hear about the upcoming alpha you shared with us. We hope everybody enjoyed the show. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. And we'll see you guys soon. Thanks, everybody.